Heavenly Father, we cry out to you to send the power of the Holy Spirit upon me to keep my heart, my mind, and my mouth to preach and teach what the Bible says, not what I think that the Bible says. And keep the hearts and the ears and the minds of the hearers in such a way that they will hear only the truth of your word, Father. Protect us from the enemy as we proclaim your holy word, Father, which is the absolute truth, infallible, inerrant, the word of God. Amen. The destruction of the priesthood of men replaced by the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In dealing with the book of Hebrews, we come to a book where the writer of Hebrews makes a commentary on the Gospel and the Bible. But this commentary is infallible because it is the Word of God. It is the book of the better things. In the Old Testament, we have the shadows and the pictures of the things that were going to happen when the Lord Jesus Christ came, and Christ came to fulfill hundreds and hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament that were presented both with words and with pictures of what the real priesthood was going to be. We heard Hebrews 7, where it indicates the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ coming alive. In the beginning of chapter 7, talks about Melchizedek and points out a parallel between Melchizedek and the priesthood of men established in the Leviticals tribes and in the book of Leviticus, and created the in the creation of the priesthood of men by God in the Old Testament as shadows to be fulfilled finally in the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is important to know what is it that the priest did in the Old Testament, so we will understand what is it that Jesus does in the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The priesthood in the Old Testament were required, especially once a year in the Day of the Atonement, to come and do sacrifices with blood of calves and goats and sheep, to get the blood of those animals and apply that blood upon them for the forgiveness of their own sins, for the purification of their own sins, because they were sinful men, as all men are. And then, after they purify themselves, then they will take the blood of animals that people will bring to purify their sins, but they were not able to take that blood of purification of sins directly to God. They were in the temple, in the tent. And between the holy place and the holy of holies, there was a veil, a thick veil. And the only one who could go in the presence of the holy God or the holy of holies was the high priest. But in order for the high priest to go there, he had to be purified of their own sins first. And he will take the sin of the people in the form of the blood and will walk to the Holy of Holies through the veil. And it was so serious because not anyone could walk in there. Only the high priest, and they usually will tie a rope to the foot of the priest. In case that the priest will die there, no one could go there, so they will pull him out to make sure that it is. Well, now we have the replacement of those priests with the arrival of the better things, which is the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the fulfillment of the scriptures. And in verse 11, since you have your Bibles, it says, now if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest? As you see, you are going to see words here like annulment, abolishment, obsolete, another, which indicates the change of priesthood from the Old Testament to the only priesthood that can exist in the New Testament. If those priests were sufficient, then there is no need for another priest. But there is a need for another priest. Because he says, there has been another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek, rather than that one named after the order of Aaron. Let me explain this. What happened here is that the priest in the Old Testament only came from the tribe of the Levites. So you can begin to see a fundamental change. All the priests were from that tribe, was Levitical priesthood. The priesthood of Jesus came from another tribe, the tribe of Judah. And that was a fundamental change. Because how could it be such a radical change from the Levites to the tribe of Judah? Then here is in verse 12 where the word change also is clear. For when there is a change in the priesthood, I wonder what word we do not understand about change. Change of the priesthood. There is necessarily a change in the law as well. For the one of whom these things are spoken belong to another tribe. That's what we are talking about. Jesus belongs to the tribe of Judah. So there is a dramatic change of priesthood. Verse 15. This becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek. The Bible, back in chapter 14 of Genesis, says that Melchizedek is almost like a Christophany, or depending upon the theologian, but is someone who did not have father or mother, and he was like the Son of Man, different. So here it brings that reference of the Levitic of the Old Testament with Abraham, who actually gave the tithes to Melchizedek, who was not a Levitical, was not from the tribe of Levi, because we did not know. But since in the genes of Abraham already was the tribe of Levi, because the tribe of Levi was not yet at that moment alive, that was in the genes of Abraham. In a sense, Abraham gave honor to the new priest. So that's what we are moving on to, the priesthood of the Lord Jesus. And who is this Jesus? Who is this priest? In verse 16, he says, who has become a priest not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent, but by the power of the indestructible life, for it is witness of him, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's Psalm 110, verse 4. And this Psalm 110 is one of the psalms that the Lord Jesus quoted the most about himself. On the one hand, a former commandment is set aside. Did you hear that word? The priest of men is set aside and is established a new priesthood because of his weakness and uselessness. And then, but on the other hand, a better hope. See, the priesthood of men is set aside, and now we have a better priesthood, a better hope. It's interesting, through which we draw near of God. And of course, this priesthood of the Levitical priests were with oaths and with laws and regulations made through men. But this new priesthood is directly appointed by God himself. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. What a change. The other ones were temporarily. You heard the reading of the word. The old priests could not stay in power. Do you know why? Because they die. Yeah? So you needed a priest that will not die. And that's why God himself swore. Wow, God, promising that. Now, this new priest, in verse 22, is the guarantor of a better covenant. See, you are pointing at all this better. Why in the world do we stay in the Old Testament? And that is what is really happening with the Roman Catholic Church or organization. They actually kept the priesthood of the Old Testament when in Hebrews clearly demonstrates that the priests of the Old Testament were destroyed and annulled. Amen. It's interesting, I have to make a parenthesis here. A priest came to our house and flew over 10 hours just for us to explain to him the difference between the priesthood of the Old Testament and the New Testament. And all we have to do was to read Hebrews. We didn't actually speak to him about anything else. We just read Hebrews. At the end of chapter 10, this priest took his collar off, stepped on the floor and said, I'm an imposter. I cannot be a priest any longer. And the next day, he went to Providence Reformed Baptist Church in Pennsylvania, where we attended. And when they asked him for his name, asked me to introduce him, I said, this is Father. And then I said, why don't you introduce yourself? And he said, I am Father Mario. I'm sorry, I was Father Mario until yesterday. And he heard the gospel for the first time there. Because this is convincing. When I was in the seminary, we never read the book of Hebrews. I wonder why. Verse 23. Look at these powerful words. The former. The former does not exist anymore. Priests were many in numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds, who is he? The Lord Jesus. Holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save, this is so beautiful, to the uttermost. I wish I can say that word the way Pastor Hoffman said it. Uttermost. You should look into Greek what this word means. It's deeply, there is no change. You are not going to lose your salvation once that priest has saved you forever. He came to his own. And his own received him not. But as many as received him. That's John 1:12. As many as received him. To them he gave him the power to become the children of God. This priest is able to make people children of God forever. Amen. The ones who believe in his name, by the power, not by the will of men, not by the will of the flesh, but by the will of God. Amen. The priesthood of men cannot save to the uttermost. I don't want to waste your time to give you examples, but I have to. The priesthood of men is the culprit in the Roman Catholic Church. It's not Mary, our beautiful Mary, the mother of my Lord Jesus Christ. The Mary of the Roman Catholic Church is not the mother of my Lord Jesus Christ. It's another Mary. Amen. It's not the saints. They're good. Paul and John and all these people. They're in heaven like all the saints that believe in Christ alone. To the ones who believe in Christ, they gave him the right to become children of God. So we who believe in Christ alone for our salvation are the children of God. Amen. The rest are not children of God, and therefore they are not our brothers and sisters. Because he saved us to the uttermost. The priest owns salvation in the Roman Catholic Church. In the Evangelical Church, Jesus owns salvation. It is from God directly. And he saves to the uttermost, and you never lose your salvation. Let me share with you the difference in the plan of salvation in the Evangelical Church, in the Bible, and the plan of salvation in the Roman Catholic Church. The plan of salvation in the Bible is this. When God confronts you with the scriptures and with his word, The Holy Spirit will give you the power to believe in Christ alone. And when you believe in Christ, you become a child of God forever and you will never lose your salvation.
Amen.
If anyone here today has not trusted in Christ alone, today let it be the day of salvation according to the book of Hebrews. The priests own salvation in this way. That is the contrast. You are saved by faith alone in Christ alone, and that is by the mercy, by the grace of God, who by the power of the Holy Spirit gave you the faith, the gift of faith to believe in Christ alone. And that is not for you to go to heaven. That's icing on the cake. It is to give glory and honor to God from the moment you believe on. The priests own salvation in this form. When the person is born, he is born, and the first thing that the priest does is to give him the baptism of water. And with that baptism of water, they christen the child. They make the child a Christian. They save the child. And that child, according to the Roman Catholic Church, is saved by the words of the water. So that child is safe. And stay safe. He's safe. And he's safe until he sins. And when he sins, when he comes to the age that they call accountability, the first thing that we do is sin. And when you sin, you lose your salvation. How is not to the uttermost. Do you see the difference? You lose your salvation. So you have to regain your salvation. So how do you do it? You go to Jesus. No. You go to the priest. And the priest gives him absolution. The first confession and the first communion. And the child is safe again. You can die and go to heaven. But you have to die quickly. I didn't mean that. So when he sins again, he's lost. In order to gain back his salvation, he goes to whom? To the priest. The priest gives him absolution, and now he is safe. Until he sins. And spends the entire life like that. You heard Dr. Bennett this morning saying that he heard for 20 years confessions of people who week after week after week come with the same sins. They never repented. They make practice of sin. And all they have to do is to take the trash out every Saturday and the priest, and they are safe until the end of the week. Here is the difference, the uttermost. So that priest is important. Because without that absolution and that confession, you cannot be safe. Even if you believe in Christ. The sacraments are the ones who are going to save you. Then, if you are ready to die, the first one that they call is not upon the Bible and read the salvation by faith alone, but they call a priest who will give you the last rites. And the last rites are oil and the confession, if they still can do it, and the communion And then they guarantee in that catechism that that person, if he accomplishes that, doesn't even go to purgatory. Go to heaven because of the power of the priest. And then if you die, and you were not able to remember all your sins, since the blood of Jesus was not sufficient to pay in full for all your sins, not even the absolution of the priest because you have to forgotten to confess some of them, then you go to purgatory. And God assigns to you some time for you to burn in purgatory to help Jesus to pay you for your sins. And if you want to shorten the time in purgatory, who do you go to? To the priest. And you pay for masses and for prayers. So your time in purgatory will be shortened. Those are the indulgences. Still alive and well. But that is destroyed here in the Holy Bible. In the book of Hebrews, they say it cannot be another priest at all. It has been changed. That was the Old Testament. The New Testament is the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to save to the uttermost. If anyone here would like to be a priest, this is your resume. If you can fulfill this resume, anyone can be a priest. The resume is here in the Bible, chapter 7, verse 26. This is the conditions to become a priest. You have to be holy. I think some of us already fail. Innocent. Unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins, and then for those of the people. So, who can be a priest? No one, except Jesus. This is obscene to try to qualify as a priest and pass by these requirements. Now, this is only Jesus. Since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. Dear ones, yesterday we heard that the Roman Catholic Church says that Mary offered Jesus on the cross. And here he says, who offered himself? Himself. He offered up himself. Therefore, he became the priest and the sacrifice. Wow. This is so beautiful. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of oath, which came later than the law, appoints the Son, who has been made perfect forever. Now, I don't want to discuss this being of made perfect, but I have to clarify that with his obedience, he became the perfect sacrifice. Not that he was not perfect. Now, you hear me saying all these things, and with an accent very difficult to understand. So you're trying to say, Noé, what's the point? What are you trying to say? And the Bible responds beautiful. Amen. Here is beginning in chapter 8. Now, the point is, in what we are saying, is that we have such a high priest. We don't need another priest.
We have
high priest. Once who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven, a minister of the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. And here explains again, for every high priest in the Old Testament, of course, is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus, it is necessary for this priest, the Lord Jesus, also to have something to offer. What is it that he offered? Now, if he were on earth, if Jesus were here, he will not be a priest. Since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. But they serve as a copy, as I mentioned to you, of a shadow of the things that were going to come. In verse 6, chapter 8, but as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better, since he enacted on a better promises. Do you see the better and better and better? Verse 13 of chapter 8. It puts it so clearly. It says, in speaking of a new covenant, the new priesthood, he makes the first what? Obsolete. We don't need another priest. It's obsolete. And what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. And here you are speaking, you know, of what was going to happen in the future and what is now. The priest have to purify himself in order to be the intercessor for the people, to take the sins of the people to the Holy of Holies through the veil of the temple. But Jesus, when he went to the cross, he was in front of a judge, and he said, my God, why? He didn't say Father, as he said in Gethsemane, when he says, Father, Father, if it is possible, take this cup away from me. Daddy, if it is possible to save anybody any other way, do not kill me. But when he came to the cross, he didn't call him Daddy. He called him God. Because he was in front of a judge, carrying our sins, drinking completely that poisonous cup of all the ones who were going to believe in him. He says, my God, why? It was the great cosmic silence of the cross. And thank God he didn't say Noé. No, why? Because he was drinking the sin of all the ones who were going to believe in him. And then came the moment where he accomplished salvation for the people of God. And then he restored his relationship with Father. And before he says, Daddy, into your hands I commit my spirit. Before that, he said, all is finished. All is completed. And what happened? The veil of the temple ripped apart. So you and I will never need another priest. And we can come directly to the Holy of Holies to deal directly with God to the uttermost salvation. He says clearly here, you want to see the veil of the temple? It's the body of the Lord Jesus ripped apart on the cross. So you and I and His chosen ones will go into the Holy of Holies only on the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful salvation plan. And then he, like it is in CNA, it says, these preparations, we are in chapter 9, verse 6, these preparations having thus been made, the priests go regularly into the first session, performing their ritual duties, but into the second only the high priest goes, and he but once a year, and not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the intentional sins and intention of the people. It's weird. Because today, there are priests or so-called priests who did not get the message. And guess what they are doing? Verse 9. According to these arrangements, gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper. Jesus is the mediator of the better covenant. Why? Verse 12. Because he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, by means of his own blood. Thus, securing eternal redemption. And he continues to explain, if the blood of calves and goats were able to purify people in the Old Testament through the intercession of the priest that was established in the Old Testament, he says, how much? Verse 14, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, it's clear here, we don't need any other mediator. The greatest mediator in the Roman Catholic Church is the priest. But here he says, therefore, he is not a mediator, but the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. In verse 24, for it says, for Christ hath entered in not into a holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven himself, now appear in the presence of God on our behalf. And I was looking for this, and I found it in chapter 10, verse 9. Let's begin with verse 8. When he said above, you have neither desire nor taketh pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law. Then he added, behold, I have come to do your will. So what did he do? He abolishes. Did you hear that word? Obsolete. Changed, destroyed, and here abolishes the first in order to establish the second. The priesthood of man is abolished to establish the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ, of Jesus Christ, once and for all. What we didn't tell you in this conference is that for many years the Mass was called the sacrifice of the Mass, where they will sacrifice the body of Christ over and over and over again in each Mass. Since we began to write against this, now it's called the celebration of the Mass. And look what God says. It's as if he was watching what was going to happen. And he does. And every priest, verse 11, chapter 10, stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which what? Can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Dear ones, I hope that you don't go with the idea that we came here to criticize many of our dear friends who are in the Roman Catholic Church. What we tried to do was to share with you a clear picture on how you can be used by God to present the gospel clearly and distinctly to the Roman Catholics. The aim that the Bible took today was against the greater offender, which is the priest who cannot exist. And it's the priest on whom the Roman Catholics had put all their trust and confidence for salvation. So it is important to demonstrate to them with the Bible that the priest cannot exist, the priesthood of men, because we have the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is important to share with them that they cannot depend upon a man to be saved. Amen. And that they cannot depend upon their own works. Amen. Because the gospel is clear. When you believe in Christ, you are saved to the uttermost. You don't need a second plan of salvation. The Bible doesn't know anything about anyone being saved by baptism of water. Amen. Or by confession of sins to a man. He says, the Bible says, we have to confess each other our sins. We need that accountability. But if you ever go to a priest for confession, then when you finish, ask the priest to confess back to you. Because that's what the Bible says. But dear ones, we need to stop attacking Mary and the saints and these trivial things. We have to present the gospel clearly and distinctly. Instead of spending time attacking Mary, one way that you can get to the Roman Catholic is to say that you love Mary. That God chose her before the foundation of the world to be the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. That she served a purpose for God to take care of the Lord Jesus until he was able to take care of himself. And that was her job. And then that salvation is only through Jesus alone, the only mediator, the only Savior. And it is probably good to say something that I said over and over and over again. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father but through me. Father, we thank you that you had mercy upon us and allow us to see the truth of your word, Father. We do pray for many of your elect that are at this moment in the Roman Catholic Church, that you will send powerfully your Holy Spirit upon them to convince them with your word, and they come out. Father, we pray for all the evangelicals that will develop a real passion to present the gospel to many Roman Catholics with love, with compassion, with knowledge, and that we fully realize that the only reason why we know this is because you had mercy upon us. Father, we pray for mercy upon them. It is in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.